लास्ट वर्ड्स।
इति गुह्यतमं शास्त्रम् इदमुक्तं मया नघ एतत् बुद्ध्वा बुद्धिमान् स्यात् कृतकृत्यश्च भारत।
सो भारत अर्जुन इति गुह्यतमं शास्त्रम दिस मोस्ट सीक्रेट गुह्यतर एंड गुह्यतमं सो सीक्रेट मोर सीक्रेट मोस्ट सीक्रेट नॉलेज शास्त्रम दिस नॉलेज दिस साइंस इदम इदम इन दिस चैप्टर 15 चैप्टर उक्तम हैज बीन सेड बाय मी उक्तम मया सो ही डजंट से आई सेड इट He said, this knowledge has been given by me to who? Anagha. O sinless one. He calls Arjuna sinless one who has no sins. And knowing it, what happens? Etat buddhva. Etat buddhva. Knowing this knowledge, buddhiman syat. A person becomes buddhiman. So having this knowledge, he becomes wise. So one is having the knowledge and one is having the wisdom. एतद् बुद्ध्वा बुद्धिमान् स्यात् कृतकृत्यश्च भारत एंड वट एवर ही केम टू अकम्प्लिश इन दिस लाइफ टाइम ही हैज अकम्प्लिश्ड सो दैट इज सो देयर आर टू बेनिफिट्स ऑफ दिस नॉलेज एज वी सेड व्हाट इज द बेनिफिट ऑफ दिस नॉलेज ए ही बिकम्स नॉट ओनली नॉलेजेबल ही बिकम्स वाइज सो देयर इज नॉलेज एंड देयर इज विजडम एंड ही हैज अकम्प्लिश्ड हिज लाइफ पर्पस So let us spend a little couple of minutes talking about this. So why does he say Guhyatamam Shastram? Is it a most secret knowledge? And this word has been misused by a lot of pandits in India who say that when the Krishna says it is secret means it is not to be given to everybody. So only has to be taught in Sanskrit. So if you want to study, you have to learn Sanskrit. So when Gurudev started, Swami Chinmayananda started teaching in English, These pandits were very upset because they said this is a secret knowledge, is meant to be kept secret and what are you doing? You are in the public, 20,000, 30,000 people are there and you are giving it to them. You are committing, you know, all this heretical and sin and all that, all these wrong things. So when Krishna says it is secret, it does not mean that it has to be kept secret. What it means... Two meanings. One is what Krishna says that I have, when he says I have told you this secret, most secret means it is the highest thing, most, you know, when somebody says, you know, I want to tell you a secret and especially it's about, you know, so and so in the office, everybody is here, you know, secret. So when Krishna says secret, what he means is that this is something that is not known to you beforehand and I have, when I said I have told you the secret means I have kept nothing. Krishna says that whatever knowledge I have shared with you. I have kept nothing secret. That's number one. I have not kept anything secret. I have divulged to you everything. Second meaning of secret is that this knowledge, you could take a Sanskrit to English dictionary and translate. Etat buddhva, knowing, buddhiman, syat, wisdom. So you can take and translate this Sanskrit into English. It will make no sense to you. You could translate every word that Krishna has told unless you have a guru like Swami Chinmayananda who will interpret it for you. That's what whatever little I know is because I have heard his tapes and read his books and listened to all the acharyas who come. Unless you have a guru, this knowledge will remain a secret. You can translate it from Sanskrit to English, Hindi, Japanese, whatever you want. It's not going to help you. You need a guru to translate, to interpret. So that's why it says it will remain a secret until you meet a wise person who can translate or interpret. People say, I don't need a guru, I'm going to read the books. Yeah, but the books were written by a guru too. It's not that the book came out of the sky. Some Mahatma sat down and wrote a commentary, whether it's Radha Krishnan or Vinoba Bhave or, you know, Chinmayananda or Shankaracharya, whoever wrote it. So, That's why it says it is a most secret knowledge which will remain a secret until you find a wise person to interpret it for you. And idam uktam, by me it has been said, Krishna says, it is, he is ending this chapter, this beautiful knowledge has been told by me. Anagha, he calls Arjuna sinless one. Arjuna was a very pure-hearted individual. His heart was very pure. Even when he was fighting the war, he didn't want to fight because he said, that's not right. I don't want to kill. But then, you know, but then he was told that if he didn't, then the Kauravas would be ruling the country and they were criminal, they were crooked, they were corrupt, and India would be ruled by Kauravas and their children and grandchildren, and India would suffer because they were not very honest or decent people. So he reluctantly got into the war. That's why his name was Arjuna. Arjuna means Arjavam. That is very straightforward. His heart was very compassionate. He was a very kind, very beautiful individual. And Gurudev says, what is sin? Sin, they say, is not in the action, it is in the reaction. So what is sin? An activity that leaves in my heart a negative residue. If after the action my heart is happy and peaceful, then it was a good activity. But if my heart has some remorse or some, you know, regret or some, if I'm trying to hide or do something which is not moral or not legal, then my heart is not content. So it is the reaction of the action. It's not the action, but it is the motive with which you do the action. Like I have told many times before, a person cuts a person's stomach, another person's stomach, and he bleeds to death. Now, is that a sin or is that a meritorious activity? We'll say it is a sin. You cut somebody's stomach and he bled to death. That is true. If somebody is cutting somebody's stomach to steal his money, his wallet, and he didn't give it, so he cut him and he bled, that's a sin. But if a surgeon in the OR, a person comes bleeding because he's had an auto accident, he's bleeding all over, he has a major artery ruptured, and so he cuts open his stomach to try and save him, but he can't because the bleeding is so much. That same action becomes a meritorious action. It's no longer a sin, but the surgeon was not cutting him to steal his wallet. He was cutting open his stomach to save his life, but he couldn't because he had bled so much. So that's what the sin means. It is not in the action, it is in the reaction. What residue it leaves in your mind. So that's why he calls Arjuna sinless one. Because Arjuna was very pure-hearted, every action of his was very divine. That's why in the 11th chapter, Krishna shows him the cosmic form, the divine, the Virat Roop, where he sees the whole universe in the Lord. And that could only happen to somebody who was very pure-hearted. So that's why Arjuna, we always revere him, that because it is because of his beauty and his purity that we were able to get this Bhagavad Gita. Anaga, etat buddhva buddhi mansya. So knowing it, you become wise. Because as I said, you may study this philosophy. You may have memorized all, you know, chapters of the Bhagavad Gita. You can give discourses. You can sit here like me and talk. But unless you apply that knowledge into your life, you will not be called a wise. You will just have knowledge. You won't have wisdom. Gurudev gives another story, so I'll tell that story. So he said there was this man who was going through a very stressful time at work. You know, the boss was very demanding, very authoritative, and he had some deadlines to meet and they had some projects. And so he was riding hard on all of them, and every day they had so much work piled on him. By the time he comes home, he's so angry, he's so frustrated, and you know, he's just a low employee, so he can't even object, because if he does, he'll be fired. That's how the boss was. And so whole day he's working hard, and you know, the boss is yelling at him, and he comes home, he's very miserable and angry and full of, you know, when he's angry at the office, what does he do? He comes home and takes out anger on the wife and kids. So he's ready to go, and when he's going, I'm going to go home, I'm going to burst out. He's so mad, you know, because he can't say anything, you know, poor guy, to the boss. So whom can he pick on? His wife and his children. So he comes home and he's ready, and the wife knows that he's had a hard day at work. So she says, you know, today he's going to be very angry. So she tells the children, shh, nobody will talk. When daddy comes, everybody has to be very quiet. And so, you know, everybody's quiet. The house is spick and span. She has cleaned everything. Because she knows the moment he comes, if he sees something, he's looking for an excuse to get angry. Everything is spick and span and everything. So he looks, he can't, nothing to complain about, nothing to get angry. He's already mad. Sits down. And as soon as he sits down, his five-year-old daughter brings coffee. He doesn't even have to ask for coffee because the wife knows that the first thing he wants is coffee. And the cup is fine. There's not a drop of coffee spilled on the saucer because that makes him angry. Everything is perfect. And he knows it's the five-year-old girl and he never can get angry with her. So she brings, Papa, here's your coffee. And he automatically becomes quiet. Okay, coffee. Takes the coffee and takes a sip, and now he's mad, you know. He says, you know, they in India, they don't say honey, you know, they say mother of the children, you know, they don't use word like honey and all that. Oh, mother of the children, I am the earning member of the house, and I am not a kanjus, I am not a miser. So he said, why? It's not your father's house. Your father is a kanjus. He doesn't put sugar in the coffee because he wants, but how come I don't have sugar in the coffee? She says, sugar is in the coffee. He said, but you think my tongue is made of leather? Why can't I taste the sugar? She says, the spoon is in the saucer. That's all she says. So he realizes, okay, so he takes the spoon and he stirs it and the sugar is in the bottom and the coffee becomes sweet and he drinks it. It's perfect coffee the way he likes it. So the idea of this story is that this knowledge, this philosophy that we have that has been given to us by the guru is like the sugar that has been put in the bottom of our mind. It is there. And we say, okay, I got it. No, you haven't yet got it. Why? Because our behavior doesn't change. You know, people come and say, you know, you have been going to Gita class for so many years every Sunday, and then all the acharyas come and you go and listen. I don't see any change in you. He says, you still get angry. So, angry? What do you mean I get angry? the only thing that has developed in you is anger. I don't see anything else development in you. I don't see any change. You are still the same. That makes you more mad. You know, I've been going all these. Why? Because you haven't stirred that sugar. The knowledge that you have acquired from the Bhagavad Gita, from the guru, from the teachers is still in the bottom of your mind. You have to stir it. You have to stir this philosophy. Think about it when you go home. Think about what we have heard. Maybe listen to it again. You can, you know, listen to the website. You can go and listen to it. You can read the book, the commentary, and stir this knowledge. Think about it again and again. What does the Gita say? How does it apply in my life? Is it even useful or is it useless knowledge? So when you stir this knowledge in your mind, that's called manana. Shravana is listening. Shravana also means reading, whatever I have heard or listened. Then manana, then contemplate upon it. Then stir it in your mind. Move it around. Think about it. Is it even useful or is it useless knowledge? And then shravana, manana, and the third is nidhidhyasana. Once you have understood this knowledge and understood the value and the validity of it, then you apply it in your life. So that's why the knowledge is threefold. People just say, I have heard the Bhagavad Gita or I have read it, you know. I have read the Bhagavad Gita. But Gurudev says, has the Bhagavad Gita gone through you? Have you made a change in your life? Are you going to act like what Krishna is? That's why they say, Krishna, you have to follow what he says. So whatever he has said, have you applied that in your life? Then only you can be called Buddhiman. Until then, all you have is buddhi. You have knowledge. But when knowledge becomes wisdom, when this knowledge becomes part of your thinking, just as a doctor may have studied medicine, but then when he is forced to see, when he sees a patient or when he's to operate, he gets shaking, he gets confused. Why? Because he has not understood the knowledge, or the engineer has learned all the knowledge, but when they tell him make a dam or a bridge, or he can't do that. So, why? Because he has not stirred this knowledge. He has not made it part of his life. So, that's what he says. Etat budhva buddhiman syat krita krityascha bharata. And such a person, O Arjuna, has accomplished his life's purpose. That's why I heard somewhere, he says, you go back to Krishna and Krishna says, what did you do? He says, I was the first woman. I was the first human being. And I went to Mars and I came back alive. Krishna says, that's good, but you didn't accomplish what I sent you to accomplish. Another one says, Krishna, I climbed Everest on the north and the south side. The north side is supposed to be hard. I did it 3 times. That's good, but you didn't accomplish what I sent you to accomplish. Krishna, I made $1 billion and I did this and I did. That's good, but you didn't accomplish what I sent you to accomplish. Krita Krityascha Bharata. The one thing that accomplishes is your life's purpose is if you make your life of service and if you realize the truth. Those are the only two things that are important. Yes, we have to work, we have to earn, we have to do our duty, but do it as a service of the Lord, constantly remember Him, and make your life Krishna Maya. Bring Krishna into your life, bring Shiva into your life, bring Jesus into your life. Then only, he says, your life is worth living. That is the person who has accomplished. The rest of us, if we don't do that, then our life is incomplete. You may be a very successful physician or engineer or doctor or a businessman or a lawyer. That's good. But you have not accomplished your life's purpose until you have realized. So that is the beauty of this beautiful chapter. 15th chapter should be read again and again by people. And actually they say you should memorize it because every verse is so beautiful. And most clearly it tells us who is this Purushottam, who is this Uttam Purush, who is this God, what does he do, how is the world created, and how I can reach, and what is the benefit of. It was Swami Chinmayananda's favorite chapter, and I can see the reason why. I just want to thank you all for giving me this opportunity to share this. It's really a very, very beautiful chapter. Okay, we'll end with the closing. Just we can chant. Om Tat Sat Iti. Srimad Bhagavad Gita Su. Upanishatsu. Brahma Vidyayam. Yoga Shastre. Shri Krishna Arjuna Samvade. Purushottam Yogo Nama. Panchadasho Dhyayaha. So Om Tat Sat is God's name. Sat means existence. Tat means that. So that existence, Om Iti. So this we are invoking the Lord's grace. It is this whole Gita talks about that Lord, Om Tat Sat Iti. Iti means thus. Now the chapter has finished. So what is the chapter? And where is it? It says Srimad Bhagavad Gita Su. So this 15th chapter is in the Bhagavad Gita. Srimad means it is a respectful way. Srimad Bhagavad Gita Su Upanishad Su. And it is a Upanishad. Gita is not the Upanishad. It is not like Kain Upanishad or Kathopanishad that Vimalji is doing. But it has the essence of all the Upanishads. So, Upanishatsu, and what does it contain? Brahma Vidya. Brahma Vidya means the highest knowledge of Brahman, and Yoga Shastra, and it is the science which yoga, which joins me with the higher, which joins me with the higher. And where is it? It is in the Bhagavad Gita, and it is a dialogue between Krishna and Arjun. Shri Krishna Arjuna Samvade. And what is the name of the chapter? Purushottam Yogaha. So this 15th chapter is called Purushottam Yoga. We learned the meaning of Purushottam. We had talked last week. And Panchadasho Dhyayaha. So the 15th chapter here ends. So next week we'll start the 16th chapter. The 16th chapter is a more practical. There is not much highest knowledge in it. But it is how to live the life. And it's the distinction between Devi and Danav. So the good people and the bad people, how they live. And so it's a very, very practical chapter. So we'll start that next week. Thank you very much. Om Sarve Bhavantu Sukhinaha. Sarve Santu Niramayaha. Sarve Bhadrani Pashyantu. Ma Kaschid Dukha Bhag Bhavet. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi. Harihi Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Hari Om.